Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is the planning commission, the regular planning commission meeting for March 16th, 15th. Roll call, please.
Planning Commissioner Burrow, here. Planning Commissioner Patel?
Here.
Planning Commissioner Wallace?
I am here.
Vice Chair Marks?
Here.
Chair Kerger?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Wallace, will you please lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. There's not very many public out there, just to let you know. There are comment cards in the back, so if you would like to make a comment on an item that is not on the agenda, please fill one out, and we would be able to hear you, and thank you. I don't see anyone, but the next thing, any written communications?
We have none tonight.
Additions or revisions?
None also.
Okay, we go to 6.1, consent calendar, the minutes from the March 1st meeting.
I move that we approve the minutes as written for March 1st.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from the March 1st meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. We do not have any items that are continued either after closing of a public hearing or opening of a public hearing. We now go down to new items 9.1. Chenier.
Good evening, Chair and member of the Commission and member of the public. This application before you is a land use permit application for Panache Heritage School. And then I have a short slide presentation for you. Let's see, where are we? So this request is to establish a heritage school at the Courtyard Center, Suite 111, which is right next to the existing Panache Infants Daycare Center. The same business owner, the applicant, is going to or wish to start the heritage school right next to the existing daycare center. Here we go. And then request is to 2170 square foot heritage school. There are a few numbers floating around in the application form, perhaps close to approximately 2,500 square foot and so forth.
Correct.
And this 2170 is a confirmed number with the property management company. And that is on the table in the staff report. So just to be consistent, and that this is the size of the heritage school.
Okay.
And now here is state license for 50 children between K to eighth grade. And actually, I just found out that the heated school is not subject to the state license, but they have to register with the state. So this is, I'm sorry, this is a little different, but nonetheless, they have to register with the state to be able to operate the heritage school. And business hours is for the afternoon, after-school program, 1 to 6:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. And here's not really a description of his school, but and since the San Ramon zoning ordinance does not have a specific classification of heritage school, and we have to classify it in something, and as far as we can tell based on the state's descriptions, the closest to that is the daycare facility. So that's how we are processing this application. Okay, now this location is in Courtyard at 2410 San Ramon Valley Boulevard. And then this development was, when it was designed, it looked very innovative and new and very different, but it's been operating in a certain way, and they have been having difficult time securing the retail stores there because of the terraced first floor is also recessed from the street. So this whole development has the land use permit to allow approximately 57% of the ground floor to be non-retail use. And then a proposed use itself is not going to exceed that 57% or so non-retail use. And this is the right at the corner is existing infant Panache Infants Daycare, and the proposed heritage school is right next to it. Okay. And then this is the existing tenant roster. And even with there's a one small 877 square foot vacant space, and management company informed staff that the property owner is interested in leasing that out to another studio use or non-retail use, and even including that, and the total non-retail floor area for the ground floor would not exceed the 58% or 7% or something that exists. So the existing land use permit for non-retail is still in place or not causing the problem for that. And from this proposal, the parking demand analysis was not specifically conducted for this application, but when we reviewed the daycare center, the Panache Infants, several years ago, the applicant prepared a very extensive parking analysis, demand analysis, and at that time, peak demand was about 46% during the lunch hours, and then there are over 170 parking spaces available. And then proposed use, the heated school, would require 9 parking spaces. So based on the previous studies and knowing what it is now, and the staff sees very few problems. And also the applicant is proposing to provide a van and bus service, shuttle service, to pick up their clients or kids from various schools so that they can minimize any parking impacts. So with that, the staff is recommending the commission receive this staff report and open the public hearing and take a public testimony, close the public hearing and discuss and deliberate, and if appropriate, adopt Planning Commission Resolution 03-16.
Okay. I have a question. I'm hearing that this is a heritage school, and yet it's being identified as a daycare. Is that in fact what it is, because there's no, I'm just really confused, and I guess probably the best thing to do is to wait for the applicant to come up, because quite honestly, I just want you to know, I have a whole bunch of questions about it, and more of it is the procedural part, and I'm not sure, I don't think it's fair for me to ask you about the process and the procedures, when in fact it would be the applicant that should respond. So, that being said, questions of staff. Commissioner Benedetti?
I have two questions. One it is kind of to follow up with Chair Kurger's question, and I had apologized, I didn't look at the zoning ordinance. We've done tutoring centers before, and so why isn't this use being deemed more of a tutoring, since it does say that tutoring and music are going to be provided rather than daycare?
I think it's because the applicant is proposing as a heritage school, mm-hmm. and heritage school is, by the state regulation, it's different from child daycare center. Mm-hmm. And then, and once again, heritage school needs to be registered with the state. Mm-hmm. And then tutoring center is not subject to the state registration. Even though they may provide some kind of tutoring services or programs, but it's a slightly different type of business model.
But our zoning is for daycare center, so you're lumping it into a daycare center. I get that that's on a local jurisdiction basis under our ordinance, but they don't require a license from the state. It's because it is a heritage school. I just that was my question as to why it wasn't, we didn't, or did we look at putting it into a tutoring type school rather than daycare, that under our ordinance?
Through the chair, if I might. If you look at our tutoring centers throughout the city, there are typically an hour drop-in once or twice a week for a specialized math or English instructional environment. Where the heritage school, you know, they're catering to students that are, you know, kindergarten through the 12th grade. And so it becomes a form of after-school daycare, honestly. The heritage school, by the state requirements, is a cultural, or it's defined as having a cultural basis to it. So you're also doing the basic academics, but there's also the cultural aspect that's included in the program. And a heritage school is exempt from state licensing as a daycare because they don't have to provide an outdoor play area.
Is this similar to the project that we did over on Ryan Industrial Court?
Remember that? More so similar to what we did next to the old Orchard Supply Daycare.
Okay.
It was
mm-hmm.
P3 party, then went to Genius Kids, if I recall.
Okay.
But there's no outdoor play area.
Okay.
But it still functions as a daycare. You're still caring for children after school until their parents pick them up. You're having a tutoring environment. You're having an enrichment environment. But because they don't provide the outdoor play area, and then they also provide that cultural enrichment, is how the state defines them as a heritage school.
Okay, thank you for that.
If I may add, we did process similar application at Ryan Industrial Court not long ago. That's correct.
Okay. My other question is just about the parking. Your slide said that the proposed project required 9 spaces. Is that independent of whether or not the applicant's going to offer van or shuttle service? So it would be 9 with or without shuttle and van service?
9 requirement is based on the zoning code, which states that one parking shall be provided per 6 children.
Okay.
So I don't know whether they use or need 9 spaces or not.
Okay. But I think you just answered my question, that the 9 is based on our standard, and on top of that, they might have van and shuttle service, which would reduce their parking impact even more because they...
That is the intent, yes.
Great. Thank you very much. That's all my questions.
No one else? I'm going to open the public hearing and have the applicant come up. Hi.
Hi, good evening.
Okay. I'm gonna do something that I normally don't do. I usually wait to the end to ask questions.
Sure.
But I'm gonna start because I think some of us have similar questions and would like these concerns or issues. Number one, I guess, why did you, the whole process with this school is confusing for me.
Okay.
The children start at 1 o'clock till 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they before 1 o'clock?
School.
They're at a regular school.
Absolutely. So the after-school care that we're providing is for elementary age students, possibly middle school age students as well. So it would be after school.
So the 1 o'clock would be mostly for kindergartners.
Correct.
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 And then it would be 3:30 or
depending
so
on the bell schedules. 30,
yeah.
Correct.
For the olders.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't you just call it a daycare?
For a few different reasons. Because we are falling under, we're creating what's called a heritage school. With our Panache Enfance existing daycare center that we have a very strong community base within that school. The heritage school that we're proposing is really in response to what we've been hearing from our customers and our families that we have. A lot of our families are Indian, Asian descent, and they'd like to see a bit of cultural component in the after-school care that we're providing. So this model really kind of fits the needs of the families that we have.
So the agency that would be overseeing it would be the same as your infant daycare?
That's not correct. We are currently, our Panache Enfance daycare is licensed through the Department of Social Services.
Correct.
The heritage school model is a model that we have registered with the Department of Education. And so the regulations that we fall under come from them.
So they would be the one that would oversee the curriculum?
Correct. Well, with an after-school program, there are certain requirements with a heritage school model that we must
okay.
have that are dictated to us by the Department of Education.
Okay. All right. So those were the big questions, and so the children are there before. So the cap on this school is 50.
Yeah, that would be the maximum, correct.
And as I understand it, there would be the transition. It would be currently the older, the siblings
correct.
Of
correct.
The families already registered.
Right, and that's one of the needs we're trying to fulfill.
Okay.
Yep.
And so you see a transition from the children that you have in the daycare
moving.
Eventually in the future
correct.
Would be coming into this
correct.
Program. Okay,
that is correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I had it. Okay, I think those are some of my bigger issues, and I now leave it open to the rest of the commissioners if they have any questions. Commissioner Benedetti.
Well, I just wanted to know if you had anything else you wanted to tell us.
I think a lot of the questions that I was kind of expecting are around the ones that you guys have already asked. I mean, what I would add is, again, we're trying to fulfill a need that in the last 3 years we've really gotten from the families that we have in our Enfance Daycare Center. A lot of the older siblings, a lot of our students that transition out of our pre-kindergarten program now going into kindergarten, their parents have expressed kind of this desire to stay with us for the after-school care component. So we're really just trying to fulfill that need and help serve the community a little bit better. In that way.
Great, thank you.
Commissioner Battelle.
Hi, I have a few questions. Can you explain to me, and I wasn't here when the original Panache Infant was approved, is that specifically for pre-kindergarten age group?
So the Enfants Daycare Center?
Enfants, right.
It goes from 6 weeks to pre-kindergarten. So we have a full infant and preschool program.
And it's a full day program?
It is a full day. We're open from 6:30 to 6:30. We've got different schedules within that.
Right. And so, but would you say that in terms of, and I'm getting to traffic and parking, because that's one of the things that I feel like we need to explore a little bit more, because while you may be offering busing, but that's really just for pickup from the school.
Correct.
To arrive at the facility here. But in terms of the peak period trips, they're really going to be around the 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock period.
Sure.
And everyone's going to be coming to both of those schools. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be a very tight corner with limited flow through. And so I just wondered if that had been analyzed a little bit more, because that's really always kind of a challenging situation, and particularly if you have a lot of kids darting around to get to their car,
sure.
You know, their parents' car and stuff. So
in terms of the analysis, and maybe Shinye can talk a little bit about that if your department has analyzed anything. What I can say, one thing that kind of wasn't highlighted a bit, is a lot of our families are actually the same. So it's a lot of siblings that we're catering to. So those families are already coming to pick up their younger children. I would put the estimate somewhere in the 60 to 75% range of families that are going to be bringing siblings. So that's one thing. The second thing too is, while I'm assuming you're talking kind of the flow of parking above ground, we have an underground parking garage that throughout my entire operation, we very heavily encourage our families to use the underground for a few reasons. One, that traffic flow isn't as tight down there. Secondly, there's an elevator that comes directly up in front of our doors particularly. So for the safety of children, there isn't a lot of walking through parking lots that's going on. And especially with all the rain and all of that, we find a lot of our families do that, and they are utilizing the underground parkade.
All right, so, but that's not required necessarily. So I guess I just, again, here there is surface parking too, is that correct? And so, and the surface parking would be the closest to your front door probably in both of the facilities?
I mean, the surface parking is right immediately in front of the steps that come up to our front door, but as is the underground parking with the elevator that comes directly up to our front door.
Right.
So they're equidistant.
And do you feel like most of your families are using the underground parking?
Yes, especially when we have families that have even younger children in strollers, mm-hmm. Absolutely, they go underground. So we have, most of our families are parking downstairs.
So then in the peak period, on the PM peak period, you don't feel like currently there is congestion or?
I mean, there's congestion as there would be expected to be congestion. It's not unmanageable. We haven't had parents come to us and complain that they can't find parking. We haven't had incidents that have happened with parking. So, I mean, I think the availability of parking has been sufficient. Again, our families are very in and out. So the parking load is also not a very, they're not there for a very long period of time. It's usually 15, 20 minutes. They're
right
in and out.
Right. But that's the situation with every school, and it's those peak 15 minutes
absolutely.
That are critical, and that's when all the congestion happens. And and so I just, because this is right adjacent to the existing facility and you already have some congestion and parking constraints, we're going to add to that load during that PM peak is what I'm really more concerned about. So I don't know if the staff has anything, if there's any.
We have a transportation engineer here in the audience. She, Deb may be able to answer that question.
Okay. Come on.
Maybe not.
Hi.
Hi.
So, identify yourself.
Oh, I'm Deborah Fear, and I'm with Public Works Transportation, or Traffic Engineering, sorry. So what question am I
specifically? Well, I guess what I apologize for putting you on the spot.
Okay.
I guess my question is, are we going to exacerbate a situation that already exists? I'm not sure. I'm just asking the question because as a parent who does a lot of these pickups and drop-offs, those key peak periods are really the most frustrating part because you can't find parking, and then you have a lot of mistakes being made by parents who are just you know, rushing to get, they park on the side or when they're not supposed to, in an unsafe situation to get their child in and out of the facility. So is there, has that been specifically observed here as to what is happening right now in the existing facility? And is it a condition that we need to concern ourselves with or, you know, either trying to mitigate by requiring them to park underground so that there is no problem at grade?
From what I've observed, there hasn't been a problem. I have seen some parents park in the fire zone waiting for their children, but I think that's for the tutoring center specifically.
Yeah, there's also another group, not this particular one. And I find that there are little kids with their tutus and everything that are good. No, it's really serious. So those are the ones that are parking on the surface.
Yes, and I think, you know, when the Panache infants first came in, you know, we highly encouraged them to park below, you know, because of the location of the elevator. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, it's been working out really well. And, you know, I understand what you're saying about the parking lot. It almost seems like it's substandard. You know, and there are a lot of very small parking spaces, you know, the compact spaces in that area. However, you know, there's nothing that we can require the project to do with that, you know, to fix any of those things. So.
But we don't have
any concerns with it.
Okay.
Quite honestly, it's amazing that the underground parking is underutilized.
Oh yes.
And I can say from being there a lot, both around lunchtime and also in the evening. I am always surprised. I never have a problem going into underground. Never, ever. Yeah. And it is, and to the school's advantage is to have that elevator, and it does. It goes right to their front door. Mm-hmm. So as far as the children and their safety, I really feel that they were blessed to have that underground parking where children are protected and the parents, and especially the last week with all the rain and everything, quite honestly, it's a good feel. So I don't think that there's an issue so much, and certainly even with the surface parking, if you wait around long enough, you can find a place.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Commissioner Wallace.
Now, I remember the parking study that was done in connection with the prior application, and the issue at that time really wasn't parking spaces because there was a surfeit of parking underground. The issue on the parking was actually the queuing on San Ramon Valley Boulevard to turn onto Crow Canyon Road. So I'm assuming that the city hasn't noticed any particular problems with that. Yeah. But the parking underground is, every time I've been there, is pretty much underutilized, so I'm not particularly worried about the number of spots in parking as long as the queuing isn't a problem so far, and the fact that there's a large overlap between the parents bringing kids to the proposed school as opposed to the daycare, and that probably there would be a minimal impact on what already exists there. And as long as it seems to be working out from the city standpoint, which appears to be the case, then, you know, I don't think there's really a significant problem with either parking or traffic.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions of the applicant or staff? I don't have any cards from the public on this item, so
thank you.
Thank you. I'm closing the public hearing. Okay. What is your pleasure? Oh, Chenier? It was from before?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Okay, so we now go to the resolution and the conditions of approval. You know, before we do that, I do have a question, Shinier, and that's about the floor plan. On the back of our report, there is the current space proposed, and the flip side is the proposed floor plan. So is the first one the current floor plan? That's the current, not proposed, but the current.
Current proposed location.
All right.
Is probably.
And so what we're going to have is.
That is a proposed floor plan.
For now?
Yes.
For the future?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just so I get it. So there's only going to be desks and.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's what I understand. Not little rooms for tutoring and reception and whatever. Okay. All right. Commissioner Marks.
Thank you. I have only a couple of suggestions relative to the resolution itself. And if you feel that's appropriate, let me start there.
Absolutely. Okay.
I wanted to suggest that we're at the top of page 2 of the resolution, 2 of 3, mm-hmm. There's reference to zoning ordinance table 2-8, and it is really 2-6.
Oh, okay.
Just so that the resolution itself is accurate.
That is the correct change.
The more substantive recommendation I would make has to do with two of the sub areas within the now therefore be it resolved portion of the resolution. The first is in B, as in boy. I would recommend a change as follows. The subject property is zoned MU, parenthesis, mixed use, and table 2-6, allowable land uses and permit requirements for mixed use zones, comma, of division D-2, comma, allowable land use and zoning standards of the City of San Ramon Zoning Ordinance allows a child daycare facility with a land use permit.
That's the second sentence is what you want to modify.
I would take out all of B. Under now, therefore, be it resolved,
so you want,
and substitute the language. Okay. I just felt that we needed to have a little bit more in the
descriptive.
That's right.
Okay.
Could you read that just one more time without stopping, just fluidly?
Without
sure.
stopping?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
The subject property is zoned MU, parenthesis, mixed use, and table 2-6, allowable land uses and permit requirements for mixed use zones of division D-2, allowable land use and zoning standards of the City of San Ramon Zoning Ordinance allows a child daycare facility with a land use permit. If there's no discussion, I just have one other recommendation on subsection E, as in, well, E. In the third line down, after the word and, A-N-D, it's the third word in the third line, I would suggest that we insert the following. Based on a parking demand analysis conducted in 2013, and I recommend that just so that there's some explanation as to why we don't think there will be a parking problem. And further, at the end of that sentence, on the very last line, after the word parking, you'll see parking counts
right.
And I would take out counts and and add the words capacity of the site so that it would read ultimately would not exceed the existing parking capacity of the site. And then we flow down to the next item. That would be it on the resolution.
So then you want to go over to conditions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and if I'm going too fast or somebody wants to say something, go.
No.
This is just a minor thing, but item 8 in the conditions says this land use permit is not transferable to another suites. I think it should say other suites rather than another suites. And lastly, in item 16, the very first line, there's reference to noise requirements set by these conditions of approval, except in the case where none is mentioned. It's not relevant. And so I would change this to read, all construction activities shall comply with the San Ramon Municipal Code, which is the third line down. And after the words noise control, I would just strike the will be applicable. So we're referencing our own code, but with those changes, I would be prepared to support the approval of the application.
So let me ask you, on 16,
yes.
It would read, all construction activities shall comply with the San Ramon Municipal Code noise requirements?
Chapter 5, noise control, period. Chapter 5, noise control, period.
So you want to strike everything?
After the word the in the first sentence,
yeah.
Until you get to the San Ramon Municipal Code.
Okay, all right, just so I understand. All right. Anyone else? Okay.
Thank you for those edits, Commissioner Marks. I'm in agreement with those. I have another. It's in Exhibit A, which is page 1 of 3 of Exhibit A. Condition number 1.
Hold on. Exhibit A?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exhibit A is a map.
No,
you're talking
exhibit,
about...
Exhibit A, conditions of approval.
Oh, the conditions of approval. Okay. All right.
In the line, the second to last full line at the bottom of that paragraph with where it starts with the project description, I propose deleting, after the word description, deleting dated all the way through the comma after the second 2013, so that sentence, which should read in part, shall be in substantial compliance with the project description and the project plans dated received January 26, 2016. And I confirm that with staff. That's a carryover, those dates of May.
It was, yeah.
The dates of May and July of 2013.
Anything else?
Mm-mm.
Anyone else? Commissioner Wallace.
I'm good.
Okay. So, did staff get all of those?
We do.
Okay. So, we are now at the next step.
Well, can I make a comment first?
Yes.
I was on this commission when the daycare center came in, and I just have to say I'm really pleased to see a successful business in San Ramon, for someone to start up a business and now they're expanding, and that's I like seeing that. That's all I need to say.
And not just that, but filling the need. Mm-hmm. I mean, and taking care of their own, which I think, you know, they're listening to the people that they serve. And yes, absolutely. And while we all had reservations at the time at the location, it's been successful. And it's really filling a need, not only for the people that currently are part of that program, but extends to others. So you're absolutely right. Thank you. That being said, do I hear a motion?
I'll move approval of resolution number 03-16, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of San Ramon approving a land use permit, LUP 16-500-002, filed by Shilpa Panesh and Courtyard Center, Panesh Heritage School at the Courtyard Center, 2410 San Ramon Valley Boulevard, Suite 111, APN 209-810-009, subject to the conditions as amended.
Do I hear a second?
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. It's been approved. Thank you. Thank you, staff. Good job. Okay. We now go to item 10.1. Okay, public art. Walgreens. Thank you. Thanks, Deborah.
Good evening. Evening, Chair and Commissioners and the public, once again. This application before you is not a public hearing item, but a staff item.
Yeah. Continuation.
Continuation. Public art at Walgreens Pharmacy in Windermere. This project was approved last year. And then actually, the construction has started as of today. So everything is moving as scheduled, I believe. And then this art piece has to be installed prior to the issuance of the final occupancy. And then this is the final phase of the public art decision-making process. But prior to come to this far, the applicant's proposal has been reviewed by the Architecture Review Board and also Arts Advisory Committees. And Architecture Review Board looked at the proposed location or locations, and then Art Advisory Committee looked at the art piece itself, and also the Arts Advisory Committee made some recommendations for possible locations as well. So this is the project site, Windermere Parkway and Bollinger Canyon Road, and this is the piece of art, Reaching for the Star, done by the same artist, Dale Rogers, who put the piece of art sculpture called People at the City Central Park a couple of years ago. And originally, applicant proposed to install this piece right here at the entrance to the site from the Bollinger Canyon Road entry driveway. And then staff recommended to the Architects Review Board to consider somewhere around this southwest corner of the proposed building. And then ARB supported that location, and then more specifically, they said, like, let's put it in front of the one of the blank walls on the south side of the building. And so this is what it would look like. This is the proposed art piece in proportion to the proposed building. And this is the zoomed in image there. And then this image was presented to the Arts Advisory Committee. And then they were very excited about art piece itself, first of all. And so that they wanted to keep it, put this piece much closer to everybody at the main entrance of the proposed or approved building. And then I discussed this location with applicant to see whether it is feasible and physically possible. And then I was informed that it could be there, but there are lots of utilities such as the hydrants and check valves, stop signs or irrigation valves, and then bike racks and so forth. There are lots of things going to happen there. And then it is possible to install there. But after seeing that construction details, and staff felt strongly that that may not be an ideal location to present this to the public as a piece of art. Otherwise, it could become more visually like too cluttered with some other things. So here's the Art Advisory's committee's recommendation at this corner. You know, it doesn't show whether the check valves and the fire hydrants and stop signs and all, but all things considered, that would have been more cluttered rather than presenting the piece of art. And also this part has a very small elevation difference, where the previous location has a distinctive slope going up toward the building, so that will allow the applicant to install a distinctive pedestal with a plaque on the vertical surface. And even this one shows the pedestal right here. It's a tiny one, but still there. And this is the pedestal that they're able to provide there. And this is the slope. So that is staff's recommendation and for the location. But for this particular application, staff recommends that commission receive the staff report and provide direction to staff. And if the commission determines that findings to the proposed project can be made, and adopt the resolution 02-16.
Okay, so Shinye, as I understand it, staff and the ARB all want it in front of the blank wall on the south side.
That's correct.
And the Arts Advisory wants it closer to the entrance, but staff feels that it would not show off as well due to everything else that's around there.
Exactly.
And as I understand it from the staff report, the Arts Advisory felt that by placing it where they recommended, people could sit on a bench and really look at the art piece, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas where staff and the ARB are suggesting it is along a wall that people drive by. Correct?
Drive by and walk by.
Well, drive by and walk by.
Yeah.
Okay, just so I understand. All right. Anyone else want to discuss this? What is the pleasure? Okay. Commissioner Patel, it's your neighborhood.
It is. It's walking distance from my house, actually, a few miles down, but. So what I wondered is the scale, is this the drawing, is that to scale? Because the sculpture itself against the wall seems kind of small, if that is to scale.
It is to scale, and the piece itself is about 10 feet tall. Vic, would you like to speak about it?
Do you want to?
This is Vic DeMello.
You're going to have to fill out a card and identify yourself, but for those of us who know you.
Well, and I guess because the alternative location is closer to the entrance where it would be people directly walking by it and proportionally, it would look much larger.
Correct.
Right, because they're walking right by it versus seeing it in a car driving by it. And it'll be in relation to the wall itself, which is much larger than the sculpture.
Yeah, and for the record, Vic DeMello, Broman Development Company. Yeah. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to be before you today. It's supposed to be life size, if you will. So the dad is supposed to be, just under 6 feet tall, holding a child who's a couple feet, reaching up for the stars. So it's all in. It's just about 10 feet. So it's meant to be representative of, us people. So
right, and so given kind of the image that or the feeling that it's trying to express and the scale of
sure.
the sculpture, wouldn't that be diminished by putting it against the wall, where you wouldn't really get that proportionality?
Yeah, I don't think the 3-to-1 slope is going to be that substantial. I still think, and again, we're open in terms of the location, but we are definitely in agreement with staff. There's a lot of activity happening up by the entrance. There's not only, detector check valves, a small bench, bike racks. So there's a lot of activity there. Here, it felt, and we agreed with ARB and staff, it was a good way to maybe dress up one of the few, somewhat blank walls there. And again, be kind of neat for the neighborhood as you're walking in, you're biking in, et cetera. It's right on Windermere Parkway there, as opposed to being kind of right up by the entrance where there's a lot of other stuff going on.
So it minimizes the massing on that wall.
Correct.
That's really what it's going to do.
Correct.
Well, but that could also be done by vegetation or some other treatment, right?
Done in the past.
Right. I come from working on some pretty large artworks, such as the waterfront Rincon Park, if anyone's ever seen the Bow and Arrow. And one of the beautiful things about that is you sit in front of it, and it's amazing, right? Because it's huge and it's larger than life. I know that's obviously not what we're trying to achieve here, but
sure.
still there is some sort of scale to public art
right.
that is really important to keep in mind when you're placing it. And I just am worried that placing it against a wall like this would
lose
that.
I happen to agree with you on that. And one of the art pieces of art that I feel in the city gets lost is the one is Home Depot's.
What a piece of art.
What there is on alongside the drive. Excuse me, am I not right?
Home Depot is one of the corners.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Office Depot.
Mm-hmm.
It gets lost.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not going to be like directly next to the building. It'll be kind of like right in the middle of the landscaping area. So,
is there a bench or anything in that area?
No, just landscaping. Yeah, primarily.
So, Commissioner, the chairperson mentioned a bench somewhere. Was that
in
the
entrance? That the arts advisory thought that by placing it closer to the doorway, the entrance, there's a bench there that's anticipated to be placed, and they could sit and look at the artwork.
Is that confirmed?
There is a
bench?
Small bench, but given the way the walkway works and where the bike rack is positioned, you would be sitting here kind of looking, and then you'd look to your left, if you will, and you would see the art piece. So.
And the bike rack couldn't be located anywhere else, or that's already been designed and not,
yeah,
we don't want to touch it.
I mean,
we've run it close to the entrance.
Exactly.
Really,
yeah, we have that area there.
For their bike, I guess.
Right. And then we put a decent little landscaping buffer in between that as well, which is right where the detector check valve was going, right in that middle landscaping area. So.
Okay, Commissioner Benedetti.
Well, I actually like it against the wall away from the clutter of the corner myself, but going through and looking at our art in public places policy, and guideline procedures. I think all the committees are, their effort is important in regards to the review of art and the approval. And the Art Advisory Committee, I think, has done a good job at saying, yes, this is the type of artwork that we want within the city. And the ARB is really not looking at the art and making an opinion on the art, but rather the placement of the art with regards to the architecture that they've already looked at and whatnot. So in some cases, you just have to make a decision. And I'm not one to be unopinionated, so I would say I would agree with staff and the ARB. That's my preference. It's personal, of course, but that's what.
Commissioner Wallace, any preference?
What I remember is when we were doing the Walgreens permitting, one of the selling points for Walgreens is that people would run in and run out of the store. That's why we didn't need so many parking spots. So I find it sort of antithetical to that, to sit there, someone's going to sit there on a bench and stare at the statue. I just find that vaguely amusing. Quite frankly, I think to move the statue away from the clutter probably makes more sense. In fact, I can see putting a statue right there. I can see a two-year-old running right into it, running right up to it and running into it. I can guarantee you that's going to happen. It's irresistible at that point. So I think that from a architectural art standpoint, placing it against a blank wall would draw more attention to it. From a public safety standpoint, it's probably better down the wall than it is by the front door. From a parental standpoint, I think I'd rather have it away from the door too. So I would agree with the experts, in my humble opinion, probably put it down the sidewalk.
Mr. Marks.
I would agree with the staff and the ARB as well, in part because I think an art piece wants to be sort of have the palette that they're up against to themselves rather than competing with a bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. I understand the scale issue, but I don't believe it is out of scale. In fact, I think it's very much in scale, especially if you put it on a little platform or a podium. So I think I would agree that it should go on the side of the building down Windermere Parkway.
Okay. So I take it that we want it to be there. Attachment F. Commissioner Marks. Anything else?
Just a sec.
So we're going to go with attachment F. Sarah, we need someone to make a motion.
I'll make a motion if there's no edits to the resolution. I don't have any edits.
I'll start by saying that on page 2 of 3 of the resolution, subsection C and subsection D are incomplete sentences, and we need to add the words the project is consistent with the purpose of the zoning ordinance. That's right. And the project is in compliance with subparagraph, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
I question, and I wonder what my colleagues think. Subsections F and G just don't seem relevant to this particular item. Site layout, open space, topography. Circulation. It's just a reach. It looks like a standard condition, but it just doesn't seem generally applicable here.
So are you suggesting that we strike F and G?
That would be my recommendation.
Anyone else?
I think G is appropriate. I mean, aren't you looking at the backdrop of the wall and the architectural
consideration in relationship to construction?
I guess maybe the part that maybe I should have focused in on more, where it says exterior lighting, signs, screening of exterior appurtenances.
In G. But what Commissioner Battelle is talking about is F, correct?
No, I think she's talking about G.
You are?
There's two sentences in here.
Okay, I would say that's fine.
So you're looking for the second, or the third sentence?
Yeah. And then the last thing I would do is it seems to me that when we...
Excuse me. So how are we...
Well, I guess if I understand what Commissioner Patel said, we're going to leave the first sentence with the exception of taking out the words on the third line, exterior lighting and signs, screening of exterior appurtenances, and leaving the rest of the condition, or of the resolution.
Okay. I have a question. You keep saying three sentences, but isn't G one sentence?
It is one sentence.
Okay. I was.
Line three.
Line three. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. I know. I was going to tell you. It's line three.
Okay. The last thing I would do is I would simply say that I'd like to add a condition that reads, the public art feature shall be located consistent with the location depicted on attachment F, attached to the March 15th, 2016 staff report prepared for AR 15-200-059. So that the record is clear, we had a choice to make. What was our choice?
Okay, that's really good.
And we can weave that into condition approval number one.
Yeah, that could be inserted right in there and be just fine.
I'll add one more edit. We will replace Crow Canyon specific plan with Doherty Valley specific plan. And the last, now therefore be it resolved. Commissioner Marks.
Be consistent with that?
I didn't even see that.
Okay.
Good shot.
Are there any other recommendations, changes?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I move that we approve Resolution 02-16, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of San Ramon, approving architectural review AR 15-200-059, filed by Bowman Development Company for 11440 Windermere Parkway, public art feature for Walgreens Pharmacy, APN 223-100-015, as amended.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you, staff. Thank you, Vic.
Thanks, Vic. You just look like Jeff. Okay. I know. We've seen so many. Okay. We now go to liaison reports. Anybody besides me and Commissioner Moore?
I simply have a mea culpa. There was an ARB meeting about a week ago, and I did not attend. I had a medical appointment, and so I can't really tell you what occurred at that meeting.
All right.
Was that about the sculpture location?
No, that was a couple of meetings before.
I had an open space meeting on Monday. And we did a work plan, worked on that, and really we're talking about trails right now and how in our master plan we can have these walking trails coordinated and linked. And so we're working very, very hard on that right now. And I think that's where the focus is. One of the things that I did ask at the meeting was the status of Starkweather and what was happening, if anything. And the response is nothing. I have asked staff, and there has not been a written proposal. And I again commented on the fact that all the windows on the second floor of the house are open, and with what has been going on with our weather, it's quite evident that, I don't know how that building is going to survive, but that's what's going on right now.
It's technically not a liaison report, but Commissioner Marks and I attended a meeting of the Zoning Ordinance Update Committee this morning.
The two of you.
Just by ourselves. We decided to take everything over.
Okay.
And I wanted to give you all a heads up. Commissioner Marks, quite some time ago, had brought up the subject of tiered density as a process that the city might follow. And so staff put together a number of articles for us to go over. And there are a number of cities in California, including across the bay, that have some type of tiered density programs in place. And what it basically involves is upzoning areas in the city and working out one way or another arrangements with developers so that the city gets to recapture, as the phrase goes, some increase in value of the property. Obviously, but generally speaking, if you take a parcel of property and you increase the density, the value of that property goes up. And so these programs are designed to allow the municipality that grants that privilege to recapture some of the increase in value for use in public programs. Doesn't have to be on site, can be other parts of the city, but that's essentially what the subject revolves around. And we discussed that for probably over an hour this morning. It's going to be a continuing subject, but I believe that idea is going to be coming before the Planning Commission as a discussion topic, maybe at a workshop, nothing official, but to solicit the full commission's views on whether that's appropriate for the city, given the way our city is laid out, because we have a number of areas that are in specific plans, and so the zoning ordinance by definition wouldn't affect those directly, but to see whether the concepts that were bounced around this morning might be appropriate for the city in terms of maybe redirecting some of the growth of the city, providing a revenue stream for the city that currently doesn't exist, and provide incentives for developers to come in and do parts of the city a little bit differently that might improve it. Just for an example, by increasing densities in some of the residential areas, you might be in a situation where, to meet our housing numbers, you salvage or save some of the commercial areas of the city for retail and commercial to provide some type of revenue and also those types of amenities for the city.
Renovate?
Yes. Because basically, as you know, all the development of San Ramon is basically recycling existing properties, Ryan Court being the archetypical example. And so I was concerned, and I think Mr. Marks was, because we had talked about it, that there's an antithetical part to the city in taking commercial space, let's just say Ryan Court, just as an example, just a hypothetical, and converting over to residential. And you're taking, potentially revenue-producing property offline for the city. And so this is a way of maybe accomplishing that by increasing density in parts of the city where it already exists. For example, the area that I brought up just for discussion was the area that's off of El Costa and Bollinger, the apartments over there where my mother used to live, Reflections. And they're two-story apartments that go back probably to the 70s or 80s. And I raised the idea of thinking about whether it would be feasible or in the best interest of the city to densify that area, because it's already residential. So instead of these two-story apartments, maybe make four-story apartments. It would give some critical mass for the neighborhood, for the marketplace and some other places, but it would also give us the opportunity not to shoehorn housing into what is revenue-producing properties, like Golden Skate, for example. Or open space, although, quite frankly, when you look at the general plan, let's be honest about it, our open space is really going to be around the city or our public parks. Because, everything else, every blade of grass in our city has basically been spoken for one way or the other. So, anyway, those are the topics that we talked about today. Staff had a number of articles. If any of you you are interested in them. I'm sure they would be more than happy to email you copies of the articles so you can sort of get a head start on what the concepts are. And maybe you don't agree with it, maybe not, but at least it would be fun to have, I think, a discussion about that, because, you know, something I think we ought to consider.
Is this also a workshop and a discussion that would bring in HAC?
At some point.
I mean, not initially, is what you're saying. You want the commission to do it alone and then bring others on board.
Well,
what you're going to do is you're going to have the public hear it at a workshop.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, I can only speak for myself on this particular subject, but yes, my view would be to have a session just with the Planning Commission, a workshop where you had to have time to study, bat the ideas around, and then bring in EDAC and HAC, because what we're talking about affects both of their jurisdictions, housing and economic development, and see what they say. I mean, I have a pretty good idea what they probably will say, but I think we should solicit their views.
Well, EDAC for sure will want to retain as much of the revenue as possible, and certainly HAC will want to increase the housing opportunities and mix. So I think it's a good idea, certainly, you know, having that discussion early on before anything else is really a very good idea.
Yeah, it's, you know, we want to have the commission have some time to really digest the topic, because it's different from what we've done in the past. And you know, there's also a policy aspect that goes with it, too.
I think that's the main focus. That's important.
It's a policy shift. And so at some point, you know, we'll work with EDAC and HAC and yourselves, but ultimately we need to kind of involve the city council or their policy committee as to this idea, too.
Well, I like the idea of thinking outside the box.
Exactly.
I'm a proponent of that and trying new things and thinking about it. And one of the things that happened to our neighbors to the north was their recent proposal about the ABRB that they passed,
The prohibition.
Huh?
The prohibition of Airbnbs, yeah.
And what they forgot to do or think about, from what I'm hearing from people that are realtors, is they have excluded the 30-day leases when people sell their homes. This prohibition would apply to them. So I think by looking, my only comment on this is that you're giving yourself ample time to think about this particular issue, and we always include the other committees and commissions on issues that I think you get more bang for your buck.
Yeah, definitely we want to include them. Definitely want to have a discussion. I mean, I think it was mentioned this morning that, you know, to some extent this whole concept is a paradigm shift in the way we look at the city. And so that's going to take a number of discussions at various levels of city participation. You know, obviously at some point including the city council.
Okay. My next question to staff is, again, there are these ugly rumors going around about the San Ramon Golf Course and blogs and all sorts of issues. And I guess I want to know, number one, is there an official comment coming out of the city about that? Not. Even though there are certain council members that are responding to these concerns?
Actually, all the comments that have been coming into the city council, they've been directed to me to respond to. So
okay.
I've been given the responsibility to respond.
And again, I'm hearing that there has nothing formally. We have not been approached formally.
That's correct.
It's all speculation. because of a new owner of that particular golf course. And let me just say this, it's just not only the people that live around that golf course that are always getting nervous, but more importantly, there is speculation by other golf courses and the people that work in these other golf courses that are coming, and only because I go to some of those and are constantly asking, and I'm saying no. So it's just like really, really crazy. I said, you know, you'll be the first to know when we hear something, and shame on them for either starting it or even giving alarm to the neighborhood. So I would just hope that the city would reach out to that new owner and say, shame on you.
We have.
You know, but again, any other issues?
How was the league?
The League of California Cities, the event, the icing on the cake for me and I think for those of us that were there was the walk, you know, the walking tour. That was done, you know, hats off Debbie and Phil, because and also Lauren, who really worked very, very hard on it. It was really well done. However, I must say personally, I had some concerns about some of the sessions, and on, I guess it was last Wednesday, that there was a conference call between the department, the board, and some of us, which is me. And I was just absolutely frank about how disappointing, number one, that we weren't more involved. Number two, I pointed out some of the sessions that, you know, like the infill was just like totally off. And, you know, those were areas I think that I'm not one to give praise if praise isn't due. So I wanted them to know how hard, you know, we worked. And part of the discussion that we had with them was we would like the league to come back in 4 years after our city center is done. And so the people that were there could see what happens in a public-private partnership and how they saw it at the beginning and tearing down buildings and a vision. But if they come back in 4 years, they'll be able to see the rewards of everything that the city of San Ramon strived to accomplish in that particular site and that partnership. But clearly, Alexander did a great job, and you know, it was a good event. I felt that they could have had more people there, and gotten more people involved. But you know, they always learn. So do you hear anything?
Not much beyond the conference call, but you all will be getting a link to a survey of the conference. So please be very honest. We are starting to plan Los Angeles for those newer. And you know, the focus of the league at that level has always been kind towards the new commissioner. To a great degree. And so I don't disagree with Chair Kircher's comments that some of the sessions were more, the social media weren't really commissioner appropriate to a degree. So, but there, if you have suggestions for other topics so we can plan it for Los Angeles, I would love to hear them through either the survey or just offline.
Well, let me just give you a quick. I think some of the sessions were very good, especially there was one toward the end with Gordon Chung, who's an architect, mm-hmm. And a planning commissioner in Lafayette. But I had the impression that if you were a commissioner who was new and didn't have a lot of experience, a lot of background, some of the sessions got into some esoteric sort of stuff that really were at the staff level,
right,
rather than, if you're a commissioner, what is your role in this? What should you be looking at? What are the things you can bring to the process and where you ought to back out? And so I know that several people here are involved with the league more. That was really the takeaway that I had. It really was not geared toward new commissioners, I didn't think, the way that it would be helpful to them.
Because in the past, you know, we've had roles and responsibilities as a session and how to run a meeting as a session. And so this year that was combined into the fundamental session. And so I kind of got the sense from some of the newer commissioners that need wasn't met. And so one of my comments is to kind of ratchet it back to the newer commissioners and provide other opportunities for the seasoned commissioners.
Jeannie had her light.
Yeah, I had a couple of comments. One is, I think Alexander may have a budding career as a stand-up comedian. He was actually pretty good on his feet at the walkthrough process. You know, I have a little different view about these meetings, the classes, than perhaps somebody else. And that is, I have found very few of them to be useful. And Rick said some of them were a little bit esoteric. I thought most of them were kind of blank. I went to the infill one because I wanted to hear, here's how we work with infill. Here's the process, or here's the points you need to consider.
Right.
Okay, and I considered, and I'm going to say this on the record, it was crap. Because we saw slides of, Huntington Beach or whatever beach it was, Manhattan Beach, okay.
Yeah.
And, okay, so, yeah, they recycled some old buildings and now they have McMansions. Well, big deal. I mean, it didn't help me at all in trying to figure out, and I guarantee it didn't help anybody else. Say someone from Fresno.
Yeah,
they've got down.
People sitting around me at that, are you getting anything out of it? And it's exactly what you.
Yeah. Do. So you know. So I find it. If you don't get in to talk a little bit about nuts and bolts, you know, here's step one, step two, step three. Here's the things you do. A mini checklist. That's first of all. Second of all, I find that classes that are done totally orally, there's no audiovisual, are also a waste of time. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who are oral listeners. I don't happen to be one, and I think most people don't. I think if you don't have some type of visual display where you say, okay, let me show you. This is the before picture. Here's the after picture. In order to get from point A to point B, here's the steps we went through. You know, that's what you need. This is a damn class. I mean, this is like a lecture. Any professor that went through did that would get fired. You know?
No,
and it's been in almost all the classes I've been to. It's the same damn thing. And somebody ought to tell these people, you know, you're a teacher. You've got to motivate your students. You have to draw their attention. You have to make their points. And if you're not going to do that, don't even get up.
Well, the real problem, you know what, though? No, but the real problem.
I'm from the north.
Yeah, and I think you should. But I think the real problem, and it has been for the last few years, they've been cookie-cuttered by staff to make these sessions, and I'm going to put this on record. There are a couple of individuals that decided what kind of sessions they were going to have because they're excited about it and they are not planning commissioners. They are planning directors or staff in some way. And it really, it's unfortunate because they had an opportunity to really, there were a lot of new commissioners there. And quite honestly, I will be very interested in the surveys that come back because I was absolutely honest and very frank at the president's reception that night, and I repeated what I had to say on the conference call, and they're just very defensive because their concept or their impression of how the sessions went was, oh my God, there were so many people there. Well, they had no other choice. Where were they going to go? So how did you feel?
I actually thought it was interesting. My brother builds pools, and he tells me about these houses in Manhattan Beach that they're three stories down, and she's confirming that. But anyway, I have to agree. The infill session was we could do such a better job with a jurisdiction that actually has infill issues going on, rather than we're tearing down this little bungalow to build a big house.
The people said to me is, you know what I got out of infill? I learned how expensive houses were in Southern
California. Yeah, and people with money, it's their second and third home. Yeah. I have our traffic or transportation staff member left.
Deborah?
I don't know. I just have a request as to whether or not something could be looked into, and this is because we went on this walk. I mean, Sun Development has done a great job of opening up that lake, and it's beautiful. Yeah. You walk around it, but when you go from the Marriott, which is a convention center, and you want to go to the walkway that's right across the street, there's no crosswalk, and we almost got hit. Now there's curb cuts, like there maybe once was, or if someone thought about putting in a crosswalk, but it's mid-block, but cars weren't even stopping for us to cross there. And I think to utilize the convention center with the lake, it's got to be a safer way for people to get over to that property.
I think they're going to.
Well, I think yeah, if they can put a crosswalk in there, but I know they are. You almost need to have the beacon. Look at Iron Horse Trail where it crosses Montevideo.
And when it was AT&T, they didn't want anybody coming in.
Right, but that's a beautiful. I mean, we had to walk all the way around because it was under construction. But it's just beautiful.
Come in.
Yeah, it's.
I know. I love it. Anyone else, Commissioner Patel?
I feel like I must say something because everyone else has spoken. So. And today is my day to be contrarian, so I'm going to continue that. And I'm not going to agree with my fellow commissioners. And I actually, this was my first League of Cities conference, and I've gone to many conferences, unfortunately, in my career. And I agree with Commissioner Wallace, you don't really get much out of most of them. And I think that's pretty much the standard expectation I had. And so with that expectation, I thought I was pretty happy because I didn't expect to get a lot.
Fine.
But there were a few nuggets in every session I went to. And I have to say that, as conferences go, I think that they did a pretty good job of organizing a pretty large crowd. They do really have a huge cross-section of skills and positions that they're trying to address in the audience, and I think it is a challenging role that they have to figure out how to meet the needs of everyone. I felt it was mostly basic in almost all the sessions, but I still enjoyed several of the ones that I went to. I don't think I disliked any of the ones that I went to. Even CEQA, which I know pretty inside out, I actually learned a couple of things there. And I just feel like you think it's if you have a dynamic speaker and you have some in-depth and some general, you can hit some needs of the crowd.
Well, I encourage each and every one of you to fill out the survey and then volunteer to be part of the process, because it is certainly an interesting thing to do in the dynamics. But again, I encourage them to focus on planning commissioners and not so much staff. And I know that there's a balance that they have to do, but quite honestly, we as commissioners benefit from as much education. And really, Eric, you and I have been to so many of them. I mean, I've been going to them ever since I got on the commission, so I can't even begin to tell you how many that has been. And It's just been the past few years, I think, because of the economy, that they've had to make cuts. So you make it in, you know, the Marriott, oh my God, it was so crowded in those rooms. And those are things, at least for me, who suffers from claustrophobia, was, you know, this is like ridiculous. But no, I think that they try to do their best and they want to hear from us, so do it. With that being said,
can I ask one procedural sure. thing that I did learn there, and I wasn't sure if this is something that everyone was already aware of, but you know how we require speakers to fill out the blue
yeah.
card?
Yeah.
I think in the mock trial they said very clearly that you cannot require that. It's, you can be an anonymous speaker right. under the Brown Act, and
that's
so
true.
And I just
know, but we do.
I just
that was my line, actually.
Was that,
that was my line.
That
yeah.
was your line.
That was my question.
Well, that was something I didn't know, so
I
learned
either.
That. See,
yeah.
so
that was fun to do.
Maybe it was
what
just
so.
What a nugget.
Well,
there you go.
it's you know, it just
what?
You can ask them to, but you can't force them.
We don't stand there and say you can't talk if you don't fill it out.
We don't.
No.
We ask for it, whether or not they leave it or not.
Nine times out of ten.
Yeah.
And that's why when some people come up, they say, I'm a resident of San Ramon. Well, you know, I always tell them where I live, but there's some people that don't want to. They don't want to share.
So to
and speaking of sharing, I have to share something with you. And Gary will also say this. We went to the Performing Arts Theater Saturday night and saw Vicki Lawrence and oh my word, that was the best performance of the season, don't you think? I mean, oh my gosh, I laughed so hard. I'm not going to tell you how hard I laughed. You
hard.
Just think about it. But she was great, just great. They did a good job. So
I have two bits of housekeeping. First, those of you who did AB 1234,
yeah.
your forms have been turned into the clerk, because she'll hunt you down.
What if we can't find her
form? Are you like serious?
I was with you.
I know you were, but I can't.
Check with the city clerk. They may be able to get another one from the league.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then 700 forms were due, so all those have been turned in.
No, they're 25th. Due. No, they're due late.
Oh, due the 25th.
Before.
Good. So you're almost ahead of me. That's good, guys. Thank you. I'm just and make sure on the gray box you check the number of pages attached, or it will be returned to you. And then a final note: we will not have a meeting on April 5th. We have no items that are pending, and we have spring break and conference travel. So unless there's a desire to meet, but at that point we have nothing that's pending.
So what's going on with the agenda for the last?
Our last
coming up
April 19th, which will be our last and final meeting in these chambers. We have our general plan annual report. We have the 5-year CIP program. Maybe Rome development returning, and a daycare center.
Another daycare.
Another
How
daycare center.
How many daycares do we have in this city?
This one's actually at Gateway Center, and it will be the only one in Gateway Center.
So far.
So far.
It's tutoring centers and daycare centers.
There you go. IKEA is going to Dublin.
No, excuse me.
All those working.
Are you doing something out? Anything with Applebee's?
Nothing yet. We're working. We're working on it. And then
that dirty rumor about Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh. No, I don't want to take any more time.
No, and then just another housekeeping. So May 3rd, the city would have sold these buildings and will be vacated, or we will have vacated the property. And so our first meeting at the new city hall will be May 17th. So we won't have a meeting May 3rd either, because we just won't have a place to meet.
Can we borrow the Marriott?
We could we go?
There, we don't know yet.
All right.
But it will be Mr. Wong's last meeting and the first meeting in the new city hall. So there we go.
Party.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
Pledge that day.
Okay. Meeting's adjourned. You know what? I'm so glad. It's only 8:35.